It's Friday. Game one was last night. What a game it was. What a game it was. But it's Friday. It's the Solon Sports, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. I am your host, J. Chris. Along with me is the man, the myth, the legend, the one known as Wally. What's going on, Wally?
What's going on, J. Chris? You call me a legend. I feel good about that. I've graduated to legend status. Like, for real? I'm there now? Yeah.
You were part of that Wolfpack back in the day, good 15 years ago. Wolfpack is legendary.
You're right, man. Legendary.
Also on the mic, also on the line, we got the other man, the myth, the legend, Mike Pierman Senior. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome back. Welcome aboard. And said earlier, we have game one preview. I don't know. Did we all pick the Warriors to win last night?
I did not.
I didn't pick a winner of that game. I picked the winner of the series. So I like how people are trying to throw it in the Solon Sports' face on us all picking them in six, including, most importantly, the love of my life. But she needs to relax, calm down. Her problem is that she says, I've been liking him since before the fans did. You can't hate him because the fans hate him. I said, well, babe, I hate him because the fans hate him. So,
well, to each his own. You know, I can't hate him because the fans hate him. I mean,
but I don't hate him. That's a strong word. I don't hate him. I'm not a fan.
I know what you're saying.
Because of the way the fan. I think you said yesterday or Wally said about how they were with the same with the Heat. They did it to the Heat. Like,
they did it to the Heat. They did it to the Sixers. They did it to the Bulls. I mean, it's what it is.
Yeah. You know what? Now I understand that, guys, and I don't think I've ever understood that before. Now. You know, you have those fans that were Bulls fans when Jordan was there, but, oh, I'm not a Bulls fan, Jordan not there. Oh, I can only imagine all that love. Because, you know, when you're a fan, you don't see that. At least I didn't as a child, you know what I mean, or a teenager.
You just happy to have those people around.
Right. No, not really. I didn't care much back then. I was, you know, Bulls. I just thought everybody was Bulls fans. I didn't even get to the fact that they were just Bulls fans because of Mike.
Because they were winning.
Because they were winning, exactly.
It's because they were winning, not just because of Mike. It's because they were winning. If Mike was losing, they would. You don't see a lot of people hitching their wagon to the Cavaliers right now.
No, not at all.
But there have been a lot of LeBron fans.
But that's because it's become cool to hate LeBron, like the way wrestling fans hate John Cena. It's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Definitely cool thing to hate LeBron. I know that's for a fact. I mean, it's been like that. LeBron is hated because he's a threat to, you know, he's always been deemed the next coming. So obviously when that happens, you know, you're going to get hate. And same thing, even now Steph Curry's starting to find out little by little that he's getting hate. So it happens. Once you get up to a particular level, you know, people start to find reasons to dislike you, especially when the majority starts to like you. Then you're going to have that faction that doesn't like you as much.
It's lonely at the top, guys.
It's really lonely at the top.
The truth. Well, we've been at the top for years. I don't feel too alone. So I got you guys.
Appreciate it, man. I think I just shed a tear on that one, man. Shed a tear on that one.
Well, LeBron last night had 23 points in 40 minutes, or just about 41 minutes of game action yesterday. 23 points. Kyrie led all scorers with 26, and Sean Livingston led the Warriors with 20. You know, last night's game, I was watching last night's game, and it was a good game early, and then it got kind of dull. Got kind of dull, and it kind of got, like I said, I felt like the Cavaliers would come out a little bit, not rusty, but a little bit flat, and it seemed like they were a little bit flat yesterday, especially with – but what I didn't expect was Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to be flat. Klay Thompson, 9 points. Steph Curry finished up with 11 points, respectively. Now, you know, you can't expect that to happen, right? You just can't expect that to happen for the rest of the series. But, you know, if it does, you had Andre Iguodala come off the bench with 12. You had, like I said, Sean Livingston come off the bench with 20. Barbosa was doing his thing last night with 11 points. Barbosa looked like the young Barbosa last night. He had 11 points. And let me tell you something. I say it every time we talk about these squads. This Warriors team can go deep into their bench, and that causes a lot of problems. Channing Frye, you know, Channing Frye played maybe 7 minutes last night. Didn't have much of an effect, and I really expect them to have a big effect on the game. Iman Shumpert only with 3 points. When you look at the benches for these teams, Cavaliers bench really, let me see, the Cavaliers bench had 10 points off the bench for the Cavaliers. Sean Livingston doubled that by himself. Now, you know,
that was my shocker. I called Livingston.
And then you had J.R. Smith with only 3 points. Yeah. J.R. Smith has been within six games last year, seven games of finals with the last year. J.R. Smith has come up pretty small. And that's not expected from a player of his caliber. Even though I always say J.R. Smith could be J.R. Smith, or he could be J.R. Smith.
I think he was a little bit too high last night. I'm sorry. I had to tweet that out. I'm sorry, guys. I know it's the – you know, WHAP, you know, Joy in Sports, you know, Fellowship Ready on all. But I got to be honest, J.R. Smith, I think, had a little bit too much of the wet cigarettes yesterday.
Do you know that for a fact?
I think, to me, it's the finals. I think he probably built it up so much that he had to play a particular way. He was trying to take Steph Curry one-on-one. And to me, you know, J.R. Smith right now for this team and what they need him to do, they don't need him to do that. They don't need him to try to create off the dribble. And I'm not saying JR can't do it. I think he does have the ability because he has the skill set to do it. But for this team, because who they're playing against in the Golden State Warriors, where the limit of the mistakes you can make are so minor when you're playing against this team. Like, you can't make that many mistakes playing the Warriors because of what they do what they do in terms of shooting the three ball and how deep they are. So to me, I just thought he just, the moment was big for him. Like he built up the moment too big. Instead of just playing basketball, playing it the way he's been playing throughout the postseason, I felt like he was trying to impose his will too much, and they don't need him to do that as a role player.
Now, a couple of things that stood out to me, you know, from last night's game, the second chance points were very even, almost close. I mean, Cavaliers scored 13 second chance points. Warriors scored 15 second chance points. Cavaliers scored 18 fast break points as opposed to the Warriors, where they only scored 9 fast break points. If you're looking at this, you would think that, you know, the Cavaliers would have won this game. They did a lot of things that you would expect them to do as far as what it would take to win this game. You know, the little things, the second chance points, the fast break points, things of that nature. But they still came up short. The biggest lead the Cavaliers had in the entire game was 3 points. There were 7 lead changes. They only had – their biggest lead was 3 points. Warriors, of course, we know, led by 20 at one time in this game. How does this affect the psyche of the professional basketball player? I mean, you got a guy like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Steph only had 11 points. Klay had 9. And the Cavaliers still don't win. I mean, that was the game that the Cavaliers probably should have had. You know, that was their game to win. And they couldn't make it happen. Can the Cavaliers beat these Warriors?
I say yes. And here's my thing. I know a lot of people are looking at game one. I had a chance of speaking with the coach of the Verona High School Blue Devils, and he was saying he was looking at certain things that were taking place in the game as far as the way Steph was creating off the dribble and dishing the ball, running around the screens and whatnot. But I looked at this game as everything that I said going into this game took place last night. Now, I believe, Wally, you said yesterday about the rust factor, them having that long layoff. That was the worst game that the Cleveland Cavaliers shot all playoffs. They had, what, over almost 10 days off in this series? Well, 7 days off in this series. Before then, they were shooting phenomenal from the field. They did exactly what I believe Teron Lue's game plan was. The problem was here is J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, and every other Cavalier that took wide-open shots and missed those shots. Those shots go down with the way that they play defense or the way those two Splash Brothers miss shots. We're talking a different series. We're talking about Cleveland still in game one. But that didn't happen. And that's going to be the basically cog, if you will, to the series is can they make the open shots, Wally?
Yeah, that's what I agree with. To me, one, I'll say this much. I think the Cavs got lucky because it could have gotten worse. Steph and Clay were missing shots. Like, they were missing shots. Like, Steph was missing open threes. I was like, oh, they got a chance. Like, he wasn't making three open threes. But I wish you make this. I look at it. You had Barbosa. I am not going to Barbosa. He's a good ball player. Today, he used to drop big time buckets. But the game, the shots he was making in this game, I mean, in that game, were like he was in the zone. I don't expect for Barbosa to have that type of output again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect for Livingston to have that type of output.
Mm-hmm.
I think Livingston could be effective in the series, don't get me wrong, because the difference between Livingston, who didn't play that well against OKC, compared to him playing well against the Cavs, is that he can post up some of the point guards for the Cavs, because as you saw with Kyrie Irving, he's not tall enough to bother Livingston's shot or J.R. Smith. They're not putting enough body on him in the post. When you saw on the flip side, when they say OKC, OKC had more length. Secondly, when he had like a Deion Waiters on him, Deion Waiters put more body into him, some more muscle, and Livingston can get his position in the post. So to me, like within some of the role players who stepped up, I don't see some of these guys doing the same thing they did in game one and game two. Now I will say this though, Kyrie Irving on defense is a problem. All right, that's the problem. Whatever you want to do, they call it the twist that matchup. Okay, Kyrie Irving, not a matchup. I don't care how you try to hide him. You're better off, in my opinion, putting Kyrie on Steph because Harrison Barnes can get layups on a Kyrie Irving in the post. That's a problem. You don't want a guy to get layups. I'd rather have Kyrie contesting a Steph three than get giving up layups, period, to a Harrison Barnes. But, again, I don't think – to me – that bench, what they did was special for game one. And like Mike said, you had a lot of Cavs missing easy shots. They were missing layups, man. I'm not even talking about threes. They were missing layups. You had LeBron and Kevin Love missing layups. Kyrie missing layups. So I don't expect them to have that type of play in a game two. So for everybody who says, like, oh, the Cleveland Cavaliers were overly matched by the Golden State Warriors, I say no. Because I, the way I look at it is that they had a great effort. In game one, but in game two, I expect the Cavs to make shots, and when that happens, they should be in a good situation.
Well, you said that they missed some easy shots. The Cavaliers also missed some easy shots. I can remember vividly Steph Curry missing a wide open, just about wide open left hand runner.
Mm-hmm.
It was point blank. You know what I mean? That's a shot you expect him to knock down 99.9% of the time. So,
right.
I mean, both teams did miss some easy shots. I just feel like, you know, there were a lot. I don't think the Cavaliers were prepared for, I don't think they were prepared for the intensity that Golden State came to this game with. I mean, they were going after it. I seen Golden State play. I watched Golden State play with a different abandonment than they did in the previous round. Okay, they were physical, they were up in your face, and they were going after it. It was almost like they've been waiting all season for this moment to play against the Cavaliers in the finals, so they can prove that they, you know, that last year's final win was not a fluke.
Is that how you saw that?
That's exactly how I saw that. That's exactly how I saw that. because they were going point for point in the beginning of the game, and then slowly but surely, Golden State was started to pull away, and then you know Cavaliers made their run, but then the Golden State just took off with it, and I think defensively. Defensively, Golden State really dominated this game. I mean, we like to talk about what the Cavaliers didn't do. I think the Golden State Warriors controlled this game with their defense and with their intensity.
I mean, I agree to a certain extent. This is when the game changed to me. And this, I mean, I don't know if you all saw where it changed. In the third quarter, the Cavs made their run. They took the lead, matter of fact, in the third quarter. They were playing good basketball. They made a substitution, okay? Then Kim and keep 100. They made a substitution. They put Della Vadova in again, all right? From that point on, Golden State won the run. One thing is that when you put Della in the game, Della wasn't creating. He wasn't creating.
Does he ever create?
Never does. But, okay. And Kyrie was getting on the run. So right there, Golden State adjusted. They got to adjust. They knew that, all right, LeBron is the only factor you got to worry about. So they left Della Vadova open for threes. Didn't make any threes. He turned the ball over a couple of times. You saw the foul of Draymond Green. He was making bad plays. All that did was fuel the run. So, but by that time, LeBron James was getting his normal rest. Cause that's what you know. Ty Lue, how he coached it. LeBron got his normal rest towards the end of that quarter. So LeBron, you didn't see LeBron in the game till they went on that. So I believe they stretched the lead to 8. So by that time, you asked for LeBron to kind of try to stout to kind of end. This Golden State machine. So in my opinion, it had to do with more subbing than actual effort. I thought like Ty Lue could have paused on the run of Golden State a little bit if he wanted to see if he subbed out certain people early, but instead he kept to his routine where LeBron, you need this rest now or whatever. So how I looked at it, like if Cleveland wanted to stay in the game and not get blown out that early with that bench, they could have subbed in LeBron, Kyrie and them early enough. But I think that, you know, Ty Lue wanted to stay with his pattern, and he was scared to, like, wear LeBron James out.
I can see where you say that, and he did. He definitely stuck to his pattern because, personally, I thought Channing Frye should have played more minutes than he did. Della Vadova had one turnover. As a team, though, the Cleveland Cavaliers had 15 turnovers to Golden State's 9. So, you know, anytime you see something like that, You gotta look at the defense that the team's playing. I mean, they had 6 more turnovers than their opponent. You gotta look at the defense that they're playing, and what they did on defense, what they did defensively. One thing that the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr did, they didn't give Maurice Spates a whole lot of playing time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised. I was actually happy because I don't believe in Maurice Spates.
Not after Philadelphia.
Absolutely. And he got in the game. And you know what? I think maybe this is the reason he didn't play much. He got in the game. He shot a 3-pointer.
Yeah. Not,
I think it was the first or second quarter. He shot a 3-pointer. He's a center. And he's not a 3-point shooter. He can shoot. He can make an elbow jump shot. You know, but come on now. That's probably why he sat the rest of the game. He's going to get in there and shoot a 3. You think you are Steph Curry? Klay Thompson? You are putting there the fiddle lane. That's all you do, fiddle lane. Don't get out there the 3-point line. Come on, man. Stupid.
Come on, man. I missed that. Welcome back, Jake Chris.
Hey, call us up 641-552-5316. And of course, you want to join the conversation 347-637-3859. This is the Soul and Sports, Fox Sports 1340 AM. It is the Hour in Power in Sports Day. You know, we're only on for an hour on Friday, so we got to cram everything in 60 minutes. So, guys, one word answer.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Uh-oh. Who's locking up? Who's locking what up? One word answer, guys. Who is to blame for this loss?
One word. God dang. Shot. I know. I guess that's so in the heart. One word to who's to blame for this loss. It's missed opportunities. No, that's two. One word. Let's just say the Warriors. Warriors.
Warriors? Yeah. I like that. I can go with that. Wally, one word for why the Cavaliers lost this game.
Coaching.
You stole my word.
Now, before this series started, there was mention, shout out to King Vaughn Jr., 720 on the Twitter, one of his Twitter followers were saying that this is a coaching mismatch. And he also said the same thing, about the last years with Billy Donovan as well moving forward. I'm not ready to yet say that Steve Kerr is a good coach or Steve Kerr is coaching well. And I know that's not fair to say, you know, because he's the coach of the team. But when you see what they did without him,
exactly,
it's hard for me to think that he's the reason or he makes adjustments or makes the timely timeouts or substitutions or draws up the perfect play that leads them to success. I think this team is more than any team I can remember in recent memory is run by the team itself, the players meaning. Like, I think Stephen Curry might be the closest thing to a Peyton Manning on the basketball court we've seen in a long time in the NBA. He controls everything in that team, in my opinion.
Well, I think one thing that I would have to credit Steve Kerr with, and it could have been Luke Walton, I don't know, but, Steve Kerr's the head coach, so you got to give it to him. You saw that all night long, the Cavaliers were switching. When the picks were set,
they got that from San Antonio,
and they were able, and the Warriors are actually able to take advantage of that, and I think that's why they were able to pull away was they were getting mismatches on defense, and they were able to take advantage of those mismatches, and I just have to give, I mean, maybe we could say that was somebody in the court coaching that, but I feel like that was Steve Kerr or Luke Walton, probably Luke Walton. Assistant coaches are usually ones that kind of pick that stuff up. But they were able to take advantage of that and pull away and you saw late in the game when Iman Shumpert actually tried, he might have been the only one trying to fight through picks, in Iman Shumpert, and they called an offensive foul on him. So I think the funny thing is we have a second year head coach and a rookie head coach.
Right.
And last year we had two rookie head coaches.
Is he really head coach or is he a half rookie?
I guess he's a half rookie. This is his rookie year, the rookie season, first year as a head coach. So I mean, he's been on everybody's bench. So we know he knows what he's doing. But look, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we're gonna come right back. And I want to talk about what you guys thought. I want to hear what you guys thought about the referees in this game. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Solon Sports, Fox Sports, 1340 AM. Keep it locked, y'all.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Honda Small Engines, 1000 Temple Avenue, Colonial Heights. They carry lawnmowers, vacuums, blowers, chainsaws, hedge clippers, gas trimmers, and engine parts. Connors has a full repair shop. Connors Small Engines has been in business over 45 years. They have master brands like Toro, Still, Briggs & Stratton, Kohler, Arians, and Kawasaki. That's Connors Small Engines. They're located at 1000 Temple Avenue. Call 526-7108 and say hello to Murphy the Cat.
Hello, this is Ike Forrest, the gutter man. We do seamless gutters. We make them right on the job. No job too great or too small. Also, we install different gutter guards for your needs, such as pine tags or leaves. Clean gutters is a cinch, and our price is unbelievable. Call me, Ike Forrest, at 640-0798 today for our Christmas and Valentine's special. Give your wife a long-lasting gift this year. New gutters or clean gutters. Call Ike today, 640-0798.
Hey there, this is Alex Scholl with Liberty Firearms and Surplus with all your big boy toys. Used guns, new guns, AK-47s, long rifles, military surplus, silver, gold coins, jewelry, power tools, and generators. All your big boy toys at Liberty Firearm and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan, 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo and Hopewell. That's Liberty Firearms and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan, 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo and Hopewell, with all your big boy toys.
Commonwealth Dentistry, located at 456 Charles Dimmock Parkway in Colonial Heights, and on 4th and Broadway in Hopewell, provide trusted and comfortable dental care for the entire family. Doctors Beltrami, Dixon, and Stafford and their staff provide only the best that modern dentistry has to offer. They use the latest in technology and procedures to provide your care. They specialize in children, family and cosmetic dentistry, crowns on your first visit, and teeth implants. They keep up with the latest dental procedures and pride themselves on patient care. They accept many dental insurance plans. Call now for your appointment at 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. Why Commonwealth Dentistry? They are simply the best. That number again is 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. This is Wynn Hasty. Take it from me. I go there.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City Sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Martin Oil Company, 2313 East 100 Road in Chester. They carry fuel oil, kerosene, they take care of heating and air conditioning, plumbing and electrical repair. Martin Oil Company repairs and installs furnaces, water heaters and air conditioners, electric panels, and electrical wiring. Martin Oil also sells topsoil, fill dirt, sand and gravel, and mulch. Martin Oil family, they've been in business since 1925. Martin Oil Company.
For the best in new and used tires in the Tri-Cities, look no further than Tread Center. 1955 Pollenduck Road, just minutes from Fort Lee. We had to guarantee best prices on new tires because our tires are sold at cost. That's huge savings for you. We also have a wide variety of used tires. So go by and holler at Clyde and the family today and tell them DJ Foot sent you and get that special discount. All the other tire shops in the Tri-Cities, we just letting y'all know you've been warned. It's a new shop in town, Tread Center, 1955 Pollenduck Road in the Burg.
This is Neil Hounshell from Unity Motors in Petersburg. Are you tired of looking for cars for you and your family? Stressed out, doubtful, scared, untrusting? Don't be. They are some car dealers who truly care about you, and not just your credit score and your Social Security number. Who are we? Unity Motors. Unity Motors wants to know you and what your needs are. Unity Motors is a Christian-based auto dealer in Petersburg, and if we don't have what you want, we'll get it for you. We offer to help rebuild your credit, whether you are bankrupt or just slow paying. We help first-time buyers. We don't want to bury you in payments. We give a 3-month or 3,000-mile warranty on all cars plus zero deductible. If you want to extend it, we can do that. Come on down to Unity Motors in Petersburg, 946 East Wisconsin Street. The phone number is 804-733-2886. 804-733-2886.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City Sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
And you're listening to the Soul of Sports, Fox Sports 1340 AM Hopewell. What's going on, Tri-Cities? Check us out. Everybody, call us up 641-552-5316. And of course, you want to join the conversation, 347-637-3859. That's the bat line. Guys, I want to get your opinion on something, okay? There was a play in the game. Andre Iguodala stole the ball, or he came up with a ball, and he's dribbling down court. Dellavedova is a little frustrated because he just lost the ball. And it didn't really look like it was a intentional thing, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it was. It could have been intentional. I don't know. I want to know what you guys think about the low blow that almost – it looked like guys almost came to blows about it. And we're talking about Dellavedova on Andre Iguodala. Mike. What did you think this was intentional?
After Nutgate, as I dubbed it, to nut or not to nut, that was the question. Yes, I think this was payback. I think this was just I think it was on purpose, Wally. I think it was on purpose.
No, I don't. I think it was a cheat to the swipe. You hit the wrong spot. that's how I look at it. I mean, even looking at the replay, it just looks that way. But I don't know what's up with the NBA playoffs, man. Everybody taking a shot at, you know, the family jewels. It's like it's like, what's going on? I've never seen this many hits, a low blow in my life.
Never.
Like, this must be the new NBA.
It must be.
We've seen some of the fashion some of these guys wear. You know what? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going there. All I'm going to say is it's a different league. It is a different league. But the crazy thing about it is I thought Andre Iguodala was just – I thought he lost it for a second. I thought he was going to haul off and bust Dellavedova over the head with that basketball just off the rip. I just really did. I thought he just lost at that point. He's not, but when you lose it, it's not even about being about that life once you lose it.
I know, you're
reaction.
Right.
It's all about the reaction. And, I didn't think it was intentional either. I really didn't. It just looked like he took a swipe after, but he thought he might be able to get a pick, or cause something to happen. And, I mean, nobody really wants to go for that area. You know what I mean? But I kind of think Andre Iguodala maybe overreacted a little bit. But,
so
I mean, when you get hit in that area.
They all watch wrestling.
Well, when you get hit in that, when you get hit in that area, it's a sensitive area. That's a sensitive subject right there. So
that's some nature boy stuff. You're right, Mike. That's some nature boy stuff.
But what surprised me was there was no technical foul called on Andre Iguodala on that play. There was a personal foul, which I kind of felt was a little weird because they were not going to call a foul originally. But after looking at the play and all that, they ended up calling a foul on Dellavedova, which, usually I really didn't expect that to happen. But, the referees in this game.
Don't get me started there, J. Chris, because I don't want to sound like I'm anti-Golden State, okay? I really am, because I hate the Cleveland Cavaliers as a whole. I hate the city of Cleveland as a whole, being a native of Chicago. I don't like Detroit. I don't like, New York. It's just me as a sports person, not the cities all the time, but the sports teams in those cities. But watching this game, and I think a reporter said it a couple weeks ago, leading up, maybe media day, they said it, which I didn't even know the NBA even had a media day for the NBA Finals. That was all new this year, hearing the word media day, right? That is, they're trying to turn Stephen Curry into the face of the NBA away from LeBron for whatever reason, right? You hear the conspiracy about the light-skinnedness being in. He's more color-accepted than LeBron. Whatever, all that nonsense aside. The NBA has definitely turned its back on the once-forgotten chosen king and his courts of jesters that follow him. Because there's no way that some of these calls went in this game, especially early in the first half, that were these ticky-tack fouls and things that were being called in this game. The referees, to me, also made this a kind of a boring game in the first quarter and a half also, Wally.
I don't look at the referees as an impact in this game. I can see what you're coming from, though. I thought LeBron could have got some more calls. But I don't look at it like this. They're the reason why,
No, I'm not blaming them for the loss.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming them for the loss. I'm saying –
you're talking about in general, though.
Just the calls in general.
Yeah, this is my thing. I mean, LeBron has been lost in terms of being the face of the NBA. Steph took over that. I mean, I've acknowledged that. I've seen it already. I don't think the NBA Finals, I think it's started
way before that. Why they put Paul George on NBA 2K17? No one's buying that copy. Just saying.
They're just trying to boost Paul George. That's just trying to boost Paul George.
Okay.
LeBron, in my opinion, I think LeBron is warranted getting calls. You know what I mean? My thing is LeBron has always been a – LeBron, and to me, to be real with you, other than traveling, LeBron gets away with traveling. Okay, we know.
The NBA gets away with traveling. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's true. Other than getting calls on going to the hole and he gets fouled a lot. Like, I'm going to be real. He gets fouled a lot, and they don't call it. Like, you saw at plenty of times in when he was in the block, you know what I mean? He would get fouled, and they wouldn't call anything. Or getting a rebound, going back up, they wouldn't call anything. LeBron has been like that for years, though. Is that, and I hope people don't compare it with just Steph Curry. LeBron has been like that for a while, though. Like, he'll go to the hole, and he gets fouled, and they won't call it. He has a Shaq mentality. You know how Shaq was? You know, when Shaq didn't get a lot of calls because everybody looked at him. He's big. You can take it. You know what I mean? Period. And you had to pretty much body slam him to get a foul call, The foul call, I'm following Shaq, whatever. I'm sorry. But LeBron's too. LeBron's the same way. You got to pretty much tap LeBron, go to the line, and get two shots or get an and one. So, I mean, it's been like that for a while. That's my thing. It's been like that for a while for LeBron. I'm sure LeBron's frustrated.
Well, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you, Wally, and not in the fact that LeBron should get more calls, but last night, I feel like the defense played on LeBron because I was looking for fouls because LeBron a lot of times he'll say he got fouled and he'll look at the refs and the play will be going down court. I mean, a lot of guys do that.
And
last night in one particular instance when Andre Iguodala stole the ball from him as he was going up, he started to smack his arm at the ref like I got smacked in my arm, and they showed the replay and nobody said anything on TV about it. None of the commentators said anything, but it was a clean all ball. His Andre Iguodala's hand never even came close to LeBron's arm. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of times what LeBron does and a lot of guys do, they try to get the next call by making the refs think they missed this previous call, and sometimes they do miss it. And but last night I felt like there was a play where LeBron went up, I think the layup got blocked or something like that, but he came down with the board and goes right back up, and you would think he got fouled, but it was actually really good defense last night played on LeBron. And it was a team effort. It wasn't just like one guy. There was a team effort depending on where he was on the court. And last night just wasn't one of those nights for LeBron where he warranted the calls. I mean, we've seen guys get calls that they didn't deserve.
He definitely got Shaqtism.
I'm not saying he didn't get fouled all night. I'm just saying last night was not one of those nights where he got fouled a lot and they missed the calls. There was some very good defense being played on LeBron last night. Go back and look at the game and watch some of those replays.
I did it because, you know, you go to sleep and you wake up and you turn the ESPN and it's on the game. They replayed over on the four letter. I saw the game twice because, you know, the way my schedule is, I'm kind of like in your world now. So I watched that game twice, Wally. And my bad, let you back in at 1 second, Wally. But
no, you're good. You're good.
The only thing I take is I saw something from LeBron. I thought maybe. We thought LeBron, we spoke about him coming out being a beast, being a monster, letting it all out. I felt and I saw him play kind of tight yesterday. I saw him missing. Now, I know LeBron has been prone to missing layups sometimes when he goes really hard to the basket, but he missed very easy layups, which on some of those easy layups, he was completely hacked, never called. So I thought he played frustrated yesterday as well, Wally.
I thought LeBron looked more. LeBron looked timid to me. I thought he was trying to get people involved to a certain extent too much. He was really trying to get people to play the game. But for me, and I just see where Big Chris come from. You're right. I think if you let him play, I'm fine with letting people play. I have no problem with letting them play. But I saw and one that Klay Thompson got going to the basket, and LeBron got hammered way harder than that. That was my issue. It was like, if you're going to call that kind of stuff, then call it all around the board. Like, don't call it because, you know, now that you're in Golden State. Like, LeBron was getting more contact down low than a chippy and one that Klay Thompson got. So that's my issue. Like, I agree with you, though. You know, like, to me, if you're going to play physical, because LeBron James is pushing off, too. So I don't want anybody to think I'm just saying it. LeBron's pushing off. He's pushing off. But, you know, I call that bully ball. That's basketball. If you're in a block, you're going to get pushed off. It's bully ball. You got to take it like a man. You're going to be strong or be weak. So I have no issue with LeBron, you know, showing, you know, pushing off in the block. That's block work. But if you're going to call, like, Klay Thompson going to the basket and someone sliding a little bit and he gives him a little down and gets an and one, then how is that? How do you compare that to what LeBron's going in the trenches? So that's my issue. I saw a lot of that, those type of calls compared from Golden State to Cleveland. That was my issue. But in terms of if I'm looking at it, if I'm isolating LeBron and looking how he was getting him in the post, I would say, you know what, he was getting fouled like that to hinder a shot. He should have still made those baskets. So I wouldn't be mad if they didn't call it. But on the flip side, I'm concerned. They were getting that when I say, okay, you know what, you got to give that dude some calls. He's LeBron James.
You're speaking of bully ball, and did anybody notice that Andre Iguodala could not do anything with Kevin Love down in the post? Anytime Kevin Love got the ball down
Kevin
low
Love
against Andre Iguodala, he was just pushing him around. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that Kevin Love was just messing up when he did get that advantage.
Yeah, I just thought Kevin Love messed up Kevin Love yesterday, too. sorry.
Well,
Kevin
Love finished with 17. I mean,
That was the weakest 17. Again, I want to rest my morals. I'm going to rest my series on me saying Cleveland in game six, because it's all predicated upon them hitting open shots. He has to be the cog to this team. If Michael was here, which Michael said that he's really a part of the big three, that means hit open shots. We're not mentioning Stephen Curry's name. I mean, help me out, Jersey boy, Duke, blah, 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 his name. Kyrie Irving's name.
Kyrie Irving.
Okay, we're not mentioning LeBron's name, who yet again almost got triple double. To me, this
I will.
If they're going to – okay, well, go ahead and mention him, because I blame
Kyrie. I'll mention Kyrie because Kyrie messed up in that game, too. I had some issues, and I love Kyrie's game. He did some things in that game where – he should have made some baskets like Kevin Love. He had 26. I think Kyrie had 26.
Kyrie had 26, and he had three turnovers.
That was a bad 26.
I just said that my 17 was bad.
Yeah, that's a bad 26. So I think him and
Kevin
Love
and LeBron both had four turnovers apiece.
Yeah, I think Kyrie missed some layups. And I'm talking about impactful points when they needed him to score. I think that's what we all are going to, like Kevin Love. When they needed baskets to stop a Golden State run, like Kevin Love and Kyrie were missing shots they typically make. You know what I mean? Even LeBron said Sam was doing that too. I'm not gonna include LeBron. LeBron was in that mix as well. Kevin Love and Kyrie were
We're having a bad connection with you, Wiley. We're having a bad connection. Wiley, you there?
Oh, sorry. I'm here. What happened?
You were chopping and screwing. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna say anything that I'm chopping and screwing like DJ Screw. I'm not gonna do that.
Well, you know, Kevin Love's line. He had 17 points. He had 17 points, 2 assists, and 13 boards. Not a bad night. Not a particularly bad night. Not a great, but he had a double-double. He finished with a double-double, which he usually does, 17 and 13, 2 assists. He's not necessarily – once he gets the ball, we expect him to shoot. We expect him to do something with the ball. LeBron had 23-12-9. Kyrie was 26-4-3. Of course, he's a point guard. You're not going to expect him to do a whole lot of rebounding. I mean, between Kyrie and LeBron, they had 49 points between the two of them. You got to have the rest of your team step up. You really do. I mean, with Kevin Love was 17, Tristan had 10, J.R. Smith, as I said earlier, had 3 points, and then the bench itself had 10 points. That can't happen in the finals. That just can't happen. And then you had the guys that come in at the end of the game, Dante Jones, Mo Williams, Miles Goff, and James Jones. They all came at the end of the game, about 2.5 minutes left. They didn't score any points. So they couldn't even add to any of the total. That 10 points didn't come from them in garbage time. So that being said, I don't know how much more you can get from Kevin Love unless he just has a lights-out game. I don't really know how much more you're going to get from him
it's the impact of the points. Is what I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we always had that thing. I don't know, they have this show, Numbers Never Lie, but I say baloney, because numbers can lie. I mean, look, you ask any of the greatest boxers of all time about Money Mayweather's record, right? They go, it means nothing, right? And then I love the quote from Creed, if you haven't seen it, Too Tough, Bad on You. He says, what happened to my dad? He said, nothing happened to him. Time to him. It's undefeated. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, it gets everybody. I think his point needs to be impactful. When he's open for three, it needs to be made. Not making, 5 from 6 from the free throw line. Not those kind of points. It needs to be points that when it matters most, it's there. And those are the points that I'm looking for from Kevin Love to make a difference in his series. As well as your surprising fact is called, and Mr. Channing Frye, who again, to his credit, didn't get as much time as maybe he should have got it all. Tyronn Lue, let's just say, I believe you said it earlier, you said it, got out coached in his game by Steve Kerr, which I find hilarious.
Yeah, I think so. And guys, if my mic is messing up, please let me know and I'll try to fix it. Channing Frye only got about 7 minutes. He had 2 points in the game. I'm looking at Kevin Love's line. He had, 17 points. He only got to the free throw line one time.
Okay, my apologies on my 5 for 6. Thank you for correcting that.
He got to the, free throw line. He was two for five from beyond the arc, with 13 boards. I mean, like you said, it's the impact. It's when it happens. You know, that's part that causes some of the impact and things like that. So, his line was better than Steph Curry's line, though.
Yes,
but of course, Steph Curry's team won, and the bench was just out of their mind. If you look at his line, man, you would think the game wasn't even close at all at any points if you're looking at the stat sheet here. I can't even do the math fast enough. Let's see, 32, 43, 40, 45 points from the bench for the Warriors. 45 points from the bench as opposed to 10 points from the bench for the Cavaliers. Look, let's take a real quick break. We're going to take our last break of the day, and we're going to have to we're going to talk a little UFC. There's some UFC this weekend, and then we're going to get into game two and who's going to win game two. So definitely keep it locked right here. Soul and Sports, 1340 AM, Fox Sports.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Marshall Cab Company invites you to give them a call at 458-3325 when you're in need of transportation. That's Marshall Cab Company, Hopewell, serving Fort Lee, the Tri-City areas, with local and long-distance transportation. Remember, Marshall Cab Company, they will go as far as your money will carry you. Marshall Cab Company, 458-3325, operating right here in Hopewell.
Gonna build our new dream home down by the riverside. Ingram Realty is my guide. The Landings at Anchor Point, the newest riverfront neighborhood in the Appomattox, located in Hopewell, just 1/2 mile from Fort Lee, features single-family houses, condos, and townhouses. Models open noon to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Contact Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508. Located in Hopewell, contact Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508.
Looking for a barbershop that does old-fashioned shaves and haircuts? Look no further than the Broadway Barbershop, 224 North Main Street in Hopewell. Kenny and Keith do hot towel shaves using a straight razor. They shave around the ears and do shoulder massage. No appointment necessary, just walk on in. They're open Tuesday through Friday and the first Saturday of the month. Check them out on Facebook, Broadway Barbershop, 224 North Main Street in Hopewell. You'll not only look great when you leave, you'll feel great as well.
Shoes need repairing, don't know where to take them? Cavalli's Leather Shop and Shoe Repair, 3514 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell, is the place to go. Cavalli's features a complete line of motorcycle apparel, including vests, jackets, chaps, road packets, tool pouches, and gloves. Need a patch sewn on your biker's vest? Cavalli's is the place. They also carry Western boots and hats. That's Cavalli's Shoe Repair and Leather Shop, 3514 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell. Phone 458-2016. Open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays.
Hi, this is Chuck Pendis speaking. Anti-termite and insect control have been in business for the last 42 years. We do federal, state, and local contracts. We do business without contracts. Remember, if they fly, they die. If they creep, if they crawl, if they go up your wall, we get them all. Call 458-8439. Remember, if they fly, they die. If they creep or crawl, if they go up your wall, we get them all. Call 458-8439.
Hello, this is Jess. I'm talking about an auto repair shop that does foreign and domestic, major or minor, auto repairs, diagnostics, brakes, tune-up, oil changes, and suspensions. 14 years of quality service at affordable prices in Hopewell. Kohl's Auto Repair, 914 Sycamore Avenue in Hopewell, Virginia, between Woodlawn Street and Oaklawn Boulevard. Phone number is 804-541-2700. 914 Sycamore, 804-541-2700. Kohl's Auto Repair.
Red's Tax Service, it's tax time again, and the place to go is Red's Tax Service, 105 Pickwick Avenue in Colonial Heights. Red's Tax Service has been doing my taxes for over 40 years, and I haven't gone to jail yet. Red's offers electronic filing, drop-off, walk-in, and appointments. Hours are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 1 to 5. Call 526-8715, Red's Tax Service. fishing, and golfing information are free.
Veterinarians Dr. Mary Brown and Dr. McDonald of VCA Animal Care Associates in Colonial Heights are dedicated to providing your pets with the quality care you want and they deserve. Their staff will take the time to explain treatments available for your pet and provide you education on the various pet-related issues you may encounter. Although they are available when illness and problems arise, the Animal Care Associates team is focused on preventive care. They offer Care Club, a wellness package which allows for monthly payments for vaccines, spay, neuter, dental cleaning, as well as annual screening diagnostics to detect early disease. Since our pets cannot talk, early detection is so important. Boarding facilities and grooming services are also available to round out your experience. Located at 2403 Boulevard in Colonial Heights, Animal Care Associates is the veterinary practice of choice. They are open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and Saturdays, 8 to 1. 804-520-2273 for the best in pet care. You will not regret it.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times,
giving you Tri-City Sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
And you're listening to the Soul of Sports, and we got about a little less than 10 minutes left in the program. And we're going to go talk UFC 199 this weekend. Mike, this is your thing, man. Let us know what's going on here. Let us know what's going on here.
This is the moment UFC fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
It goes down this weekend for the much-anticipated UFC 200 between Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. It's starting off with your middleweight champion of the world. You know that guy, Luke Rockhold? That's just it. You don't know who he is unless you're a big MMA fan. He took down the once undefeated Chris Weidman. You know Chris Weidman, right? The guy that everybody said lucked up against Anderson the Spider Silva the first time, and the second time, oh, it was a leg injury that took Anderson Silva out. No, we have watched, we have seen that Anderson the Spider Silva has been known, has been found out to be a cheater, as well as not the fighter we all thought that he once was. Take away what I said, what you will, but we're going to have a middleweight champion in the world, Luke Rockhold, 15-2, former Strikeforce champion. Take a Michael, I can't stand him, the Count Bisbee in this match. Also on the undercard, to me, a bigger, more impactful match after years and years and years of hype and trash talk between the champion coming back from four major surgeries, Dominic the Dominator Cruz, 21-1. Injuries aside, you may not like him. Pretty much, guys, if you don't know about this guy, which you should, Dominic Cruz can be best compared to Floyd Mayweather of UFC. Reason why I say that, I'm a Mayweather fan, but I have to call a spade when it's a spade, and Dominic Cruz is a stick-and-move UFC fighter. Not pretty much known for the aggressive, you know, to knock out power and things along that line. It says a 33% knockout KO differential, but that's really small in a small amount of 21 fights. You should have some knockouts there. He's very fast. He's very elusive. He will jab. He will stick. He will move. He will get out of there. Very good ground wrestler. Taking on the California Kid, Uriah Faber. This should be a great one. We also have Max the Blessed Holloway taking on the Bully, Richard Lamas himself, and then the UFC MMA legend Dan Hendo Henderson taking on Hector Lombard. This should be a great night of fights, Wally and Jay Chris. I'm telling you right now, I always have that saying, to pay or not to pay, and I'm not talking about your Aunt Dottie's toupee. To pay for this UFC pay-per-view, I would do that. Two title matches, a legend, and Holloway versus Loomis. This is a great pay-per-view to watch, guys. UFC 199 might top UFC 200 when it's all said and done. But real fast, when we get out of here, I got to go. Michael has the game. I'm going to lock up Dan Henderson to lose to Hector Lombard. I'm sorry, Dan. I hope you do. I just don't think you got it in you anymore. I'm going to also lock up the Max Holloway. I love what he's done lately. I'm locking him up. I'm going to also lock up Luke Rockhold to retain the middleweight championship of the world. And I am not going to lie, guys. I am torn between Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber. I mean, you talk about trash talk. You guys have wanted to fight each other for almost a decade, and it's finally going to happen. The problem is with Uriah Faber, he reminds me of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He reminds me of any guy you could think of that every single time they're a great fighter until they get that title match, that big important match that can bring them over the top. That's Uriah Faber. So I don't know what we're going to get here. So being the intelligent sports fan that I am, I got to go with the money. I got to go with Vegas having them being a 2-1. I got to go with Dominic Cruz, the champion, to retain as well. So those are my locks for the UFC 199. And I'm also locking up game two of the Cleveland Cavaliers wins that game. I got to, right? I put in six. I can't back up now because of one game. I'm not soft. Trust me, that's what she said. Hard as they come. So I got to go. That's why my name is Mike Knoxville with three X's. I'll just keep it real, guys. Those are my lockups for this weekend.
There you have it. There you have it. Look, when it comes to UFC, you might want to go with what Mike is saying. I'll pick, but you know, but I go with what Mike's saying because he knows what he's talking about with the UFC. Let me see. I'm going to run through the UFC real quick. I'm going to try my hand. Let me see. Give me Henderson. Give me Lamas. Give me Faber. Give me Rockhold. Is that who you said, Mike?
I said Rockhold. I said Cruz. You pick Faber. You pick Lamas. I pick Holloway. I pick Lombard as well. No. There's something wrong with that because outside of the Cruz favorite, man, I'm only picking Cruz because of Uriah always just seems to come up short in those big matches or don't do enough. And because he's also kind of the same fighter. He's not a knockout artist, you know. He's a stick-and-move ground guy. So this is a case of we might see the most running in a UFC cage or we could see the most active we've ever seen in a UFC cage. You just don't want these two fighters of the same kind of elk.
Gotcha. Well, look, go ahead and tell Mike, tell little Mike to, you know, do his thing in the game today. Make sure they come back with a W, all right?
Gotcha.
Be a star, man. Tell him to be a star.
He knows his playoff time. He's ready to shine, guys. He's ready to shine.
That's what's up.
Yo. We'll talk to you next week, man. Hey, Wally, you got any lock? You want to lock up anything for the weekend?
Oh, I'm locking up the Cavs taking game two because I had them in six.
Ooh.
I gotta stay with my guns, man.
So they definitely have to win this next. Well,
they
got to
win
this next game.
They don't have to, but I feel
you
like
think they got to take one in Golden State.
They got to take one in Golden State. They got to.
It's funny how we say they got to take one in Golden State. That's not the city that they're playing in. They're playing in Oakland.
Oakland, you know, they got to take it with the land of too short. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's people that don't realize that Golden State is not a city.
Yeah, I hope they know.
When they
watch the game, they say Oakland. I would hope so, unless they don't watch basketball.
I bet you there's some people that don't realize that Golden State is not a city.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm not here to talk about those people. It is what it is, you know. Sometimes I forget my own stuff, so I ain't gonna lie. All right, this weekend, I don't really want to lock up. After watching last night's game, it's like, dang, can I really lock up game two? You know, can I really depend on – because there was a point – okay, there's two things I noticed. And, you know, I'm a poker player, so I watch body language, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was I think it was about 5 minutes left, 5.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson goes up to shoot a three. And J.R. Smith was a couple steps away. He started to go over to contest the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see in his body language, like, man, why? Why am I even doing this? That's what I read in his body language. Why am I
even
doing it?
That's J.R. Smith, though. Yeah. That's J.R. Smith.
And then you had LeBron. They showed him on the sideline, and at one point he put his face in his hands, and it was almost like, what do I have to do? Like, what do I have to do? Do I have to put this team on my back again? I don't know if I can do that. That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read from. I don't know. But locking up game two. Can I lock up game two?
You can do that. Lock up something, man. You can do. You got to lock up something.
I'll lock up game two, and I'll say Cleveland will win game two.
What I'm talking about.
That's
what I'm
saying. I don't believe it, though. I really don't believe it. I don't believe a lot.
Believe your
pick,
though,
man. But I'm
going to
just go with
it. Believe what you pick. All right, initially, before we... Yesterday, you made a pick for the series. Believe in that, man. That should gear
right.
you the right way.
I kind of picked with my heart because the only reason I picked Cleveland yesterday was because I went with them earlier in the year. And at the beginning, I said Cleveland's going to win. But look, we got to get out of here, man. It's about 10 seconds left in the show. We'll talk to you on Monday after game two, and we'll break down game two for you and go over what happened on the weekend. So for Wally, wow, I'm Jay Chris. Mike had to go. We all got to go now. So I'll talk to y'all next week, man. Keep it locked, Solon Sports, 1340 AM, Fox Sports.